Hello and welcome to More to the Story. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Now, we've been in a series recently called The History of the Holy Land, and we're going to get back to that very soon, but I wanted to take a short break from that because I heard something on the radio that struck me quite interesting, and I want to talk about it. So I call this the Barbara Streisand paradox, unparalleled success without the fun. So it's hard to reconcile the image of Barbara Streisand, who is just an iconic songstress, an accomplished actress, and even a celebrated director, which I actually didn't know until I was researching her for this little episode. It's hard to parallel that with something she said on NPR News. I was picking up the kids from school this week and I heard this interview, and she said this interesting little thing right at the end. She said, "I haven't had much fun in my life." Now, notice she didn't say, "I haven't had much success," but she said, "I haven't had much fun in my life." And this admission, I guess you could call it, strikes a really discordant note. I mean, it really contrasts sharply with the glittering array of achievements that have defined her career and what we think of as the iconic Barbara Streisand. So let's just talk a little bit about her dazzling height of stardom. Barbara Streisand's resume is a litany of successes that would, by any standard, define a fulfilling and remarkable life. So with a career spanning, can you imagine this, 6 decades, she started very young and she still is working. Streisand has earned her place as one of the most successful performers in history. Men and women alike, she is among the greats in that field. Let me give you a couple of examples. She is an award-winning musician. Streisand won her Grammy Awards, including Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and Grammy Legend Award. She won those for her musical talents. She's a box office star. The one that stands out is Funny Girl, although she's made many movies. She won an Academy Award for Funny Girl for Best Actress. My wife and I watched that just recently, and it is a very unique and interesting movie. She's an influential director. On our list to watch next, I saw it when I was young, but I'm going to watch it again. I'm planning to. Yentl, which she apparently directed. I didn't realize that. Streisand became the first woman to write, produce, direct, and star in a major studio film. So she is an accomplished director. She's a Broadway sensation. Her Broadway debut was apparently a play called I Can Get It For You Wholesale. I've never seen it or heard of it, but it was well acclaimed, earned her a Tony Award nomination. And Funny Girl, of course, which we already mentioned, cemented her as a star, you know, her star status. In addition to that, apart from that career, she's also worked as a philanthropist and an advocate. She's been a vocal advocate for various causes. So with such a legacy as this, wouldn't you expect that she's had a lot of fun? I mean, wouldn't you think that she's had just a life full of fun? But think about her own words. I haven't had much fun in my life. Well, if that stuff isn't fun, what is? Well, maybe that's what we need to find out. You see, society tends to idolize success. We often equate it with happiness, with fun. We look up to the stars, believing their lives are flawless. Even in their public personas, there are little cracks that indicate that this isn't the case. And we ostensibly say we understand that they're not perfect, that their lives are a mess. But we still idolize them. We still look up to them. We still act as if we wish we were them. However, Streisand's candidness invites us to question this assumption. Perhaps the adulation, the accolades, and the applause, maybe they're not a perfect substitute for simple pleasures and fun. In the interview I heard on NPR, she mentioned that she wants to do more of the fun things, and then she went on to explain that one of the things she means is just taking a ride with her husband in his truck, hopefully with the kids and the grandkids. Now, can you see this? Can you imagine this? The world's biggest star is saying she wish she had done more things that were fun, things that you and me can do right now. You can go out and you can take a drive with your kids. How cool. I love that. Because what it tells us is that the stars are looking up to us, so to speak. Normal people having normal people fun. Now, I want to give you a spiritual perspective here. This dichotomy between external success and internal satisfaction, it's not a new phenomenon. It's something that we actually see in the Bible. And as you know, I'm a Bible teacher, so I'm going to be thinking about the Bible and what it has to say about the things that we see in society. So one that comes to mind is Ecclesiastes 2:11. Now, I'm going to give this to you in the NIV. It says this, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Well, that's pretty dismal. You see, Solomon tried a bunch of stuff. I reread this book recently, Ecclesiastes, and it is a list of things that he attempted to find fun, to find pleasure, to find joy. He tried a lot of things. He chased a lot of big ideas. And what he found out is that everything, all of those human toils, they ultimately are meaningless. Now, toward the end of the book, I don't want to ruin it for you. If you haven't read it, you should read it. He gives this little ray of light right at the end. He gives a concept, an idea that the meaning in life is not going to be found through these things, but it's going to be in the Lord. So, here's a spiritual reflection beyond the wind, so to speak, considering Solomon's words. The Bible offers wisdom on this particular matter. Now, Ecclesiastes 2:11 does speak of the emptiness of achievement without joy, but the message of the Bible actually turns more toward hope and fulfillment as we come closer to the story of Christ. And in fact, it's Christ's own words that I want to wrap with here in this episode. Think about John 10:10. Again, this is NIV. It says, "I have come that you may have life." Now, I think when he says that, what he's talking about is eternal life. You can have eternal life by a simple faith in Christ for that free gift. But he doesn't stop there. He says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." You see, this suggests that a fulfilling life is about more than worldly success. It's about abundance and joy, experiencing a relationship, a close fellowship with the Lord. You see, you can believe in Jesus for salvation and have salvation, but actually finding that abundance, finding that joy, that's going to be found in a close fellowship with the Lord. And that happens by abiding in him, which in the Gospel of John, he goes on to talk about that those who abide in his word, those who remain in his word, they're his disciples indeed. Those who abide are like fruit hanging from a healthy branch, and they are branches hanging from a healthy vine, and they will produce good fruit. That is what it means to have an abundant life. I think of an abundant life as a life marked by the fruits of the Spirit. So, I don't know what Barbara Streisand's religious outlook is, but I know what I hope you and I will focus on. and that is seeking out abundance in the Lord. So number one, step one, first step of this journey is if you have not believed in Jesus for salvation, that needs to happen right away. In fact, send a message to me. Let's talk. I want to talk to you about that. Let's get that settled. Let's get your salvation in place. But if, like so many of our listeners, you have already believed in Jesus for the free gift of salvation, then the thing that you need to be focused on now is how to have an abundant life, how to have a life marked by the fruits of the Spirit. I think that some of the greatest tools that the Lord has given us to keep our mind in the right spot so that we can do that is, number one, prayer. Praying even in the very moment of temptation that the Lord would deliver us from that temptation. In the moment of a dark mindset, we ought to pray. We ought to ask for deliverance. A second tool that he's given us is fellowship. When we fellowship with other mature believers, we grow. It moves our mind to the right place, and we're better able to have that abundant life, that life marked by the fruits of the Spirit. And finally, the study of God's Word. In John 8, Jesus talks about the fact that we need to remain in His Word to be good disciples. So when we remain or abide in His Word, when we study it, when we focus on it, when we ingest it, when we have it in our mind, then that changes our ability to keep our mind in the right place. Those are indispensable tools to help us seek out that abundance that Christ offers. So in closing, Streisand's life, as seen through the lens of her vast achievements and her candid words, becomes a narrative that inspires us to seek harmony. We want to find harmony between who we should be and how we're living, who we are now. So let's endeavor to mold our own path, so to speak, with a conscious effort to infuse them with both purpose and pleasure found in Christ and Christ alone. After all, the truest form of success is living a life that is marked by the fruits of the Spirit. Thanks for listening. I look forward to being back with you soon with our special podcast series, The History of the Holy Land, from Abraham to Hamas. Until next time.